The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. When God inserts his hand into human history, everything changes. When the God of all creation touches our lives with his Holy Spirit, we are changed. God's intention is to transform our world, to bathe it in his love, to bring about his kingdom so that all might be saved. And if we look carefully at our readings today, we should be able to understand that God has indeed entered into history and that everything has indeed been changed. But, and I say this with regret, you'd hardly know that the world has been changed by God himself when you look at how we simple human beings tend to conduct our lives. We blindly go about our lives acting as if he is somehow merely a shadow in the background of existence. And that's even if we acknowledge him to be present at all. Marginally believing humankind tends to treat God as if he's some kind of clockmaker who has set the gears of the universe into motion and then has left the workshop, leaving the instrument to continue on its own. In this scenario, our lives just fill in the minutes and the hours of the day, and the clock keeps ticking unperturbed by our existence. But that's not how God works at all. He is intensely and intimately involved with every moment of time and with every creature under the sun. Nothing is beneath his notice, and nothing occurs without his permission, encouragement, or involvement. God loves creation and has a special plan for it. And for us humans who understand that each passing moment is an integral part of history, God's involvement in our affairs is essential. And we see that in our readings today as well. When God enters into our history in the most decisive manner possible, everything changes, and the church on earth is born. Today, Pentecost Sunday, is the day when we celebrate the gift given by the living, breathing, loving God who pours out his Spirit into the world for the salvation of the world. Today we hear about God's promise fulfilled and witness the creation of his church made to guide humankind until the end of time. All of our readings today are reflections on this historic moment, and that's why it's important for us to open our hearts to what happened and continues to happen when God pours out his Holy Spirit into the world. In our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, We look on with wonder as a group of discouraged and frightened disciples who've locked themselves off into an upper room to escape their enemies suddenly experience the miraculous power of God Almighty, whose Spirit enters into their midst. Luke, who is the author of Acts, is at his wits' end, groping to find the words to describe the moment. Unable to capture it directly, he falls back on simile and to describe what happens. He writes that it was a noise like a strong dividing or driving wind, followed by tongues as if of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. Now, we who hear this language are left to imagine in our mind's eye the magnitude of the moment. And it was momentous, because suddenly all the frail, worried members of that little pre-Christian community are overcome, overwhelmed, and filled to capacity with the power of the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in languages unknown to them, compelled to proclaim God in all his glory. They are as one, unified by God's grace, as they pour down the stairwell of the upper room and out into the street. And once there, they find themselves surrounded by people from every corner of the empire, people who have come because they too have heard the commotion that has occurred. Now, these are multilingual people who have arrived on the scene to witness the moment and to hear with their own ears a small body of disciples standing there in the middle of the streets proclaiming with fearless freedom God's wonder. And impossibly, except that it's true, they hear that proclamation being made in their own native tongue. But how can this be? These disciples from the upper room aren't educated men and women. Everyone with any experience in the world can see that they are just simple Galilean fishermen and poor people and women of no repute. And yet, they articulate, to quote Luke, the mighty acts of God. Now, it says that the crowd was confused by all of this. And I think what is meant by the word confused is that the congregation of people from the outer world of Parthia and Media and Mesopotamia and Libya and even Rome were able to hear the words, but they weren't ready just yet to grasp the meaning of those words, or the event that was taking place right in front of their eyes. And I must say, brothers and sisters, that this same confusion still abides with us today. It may even be happening in this church at this Mass. People may be hearing the Word of God being spoken today and still not grasp its meaning for them and their lives. And that's because of the filters that we've learned to put on over time that prevent the life-changing power of God to penetrate into our hearts. For many, it is easier to go on with daily existence as if God is not present at all. And it is easy for us to shield ourselves from God's grace, because to do otherwise, to drop our defenses, would mean that we would have to live differently. We would have to see God, who really is alive in the world, and then would have to respond accordingly. That's why the Pentecost moment is so essential even today. God has to be made present in the world. Salvation depends on it. And we who are Christians are called to spread the gospel to every end of the earth. We need to find the words and the actions that will make his presence known. And to do that, just like the disciples at that first Pentecost, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit to sustain us and to drive us forward, We can't accomplish the mission that God has entrusted for us to complete. And that brings us to our second reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Paul writes, No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And this is true. On our own, we can do nothing. But with God in us, all things are possible. Nonetheless, the task of reaching out into the world continues to seem overwhelming because not everyone feels that they are equipped to do the work of evangelization. Some of us lack the ability to speak persuasively about Christ. Or maybe we are, because of our station in life, unable to interact with people on a daily basis. Maybe we're elderly. Or maybe we're tied up with the daily concerns of family life. Or maybe we're just shy. Brothers and sisters, don't be alarmed. Paul says that each of us has spiritual gifts unique to each person, what he calls the manifestation of the Spirit, given for our benefit. We can trust that God knows what he's doing. And if we trust in God, we can move forward, relying on him to show us the gift that he has bestowed on us. And he will show us that gift. But then we have to ask ourselves, how does that gift find its expression? And for this, we should turn to our final reading. In John's Gospel, the resurrected Christ stands in the midst of his disciples, and that would be us here as well today. And he offers them peace. Now, Christ's peace does not mean that there is no discordance. Far from it. In fact, it anticipates discordance. And that points to the necessity of our needing the peace that only he can give us. Christ's peace means that despite all conflict, despite ill health, despite the turmoils and difficulties of this world, if we trust in him, Christ will give us a peace that we can experience and use, a blessing that will bring harmony and wholeness into our lives. He will breathe into us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that will enable us to testify to the truth of God's love for the world. We received that peace at our baptism. We received it at our confirmation. We receive it in every sacramental moment in our lives. In those moments, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and dwells within us. It will happen again today at this Mass when, if we are disposed to do so, we receive the Eucharist. When we receive the host and the chalice, we receive the living God in his triune reality. God's peace becomes a part of our lives, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our souls. He becomes the soul's most welcome guest. We can call upon him at any time to enkindle in us the fire of his love. And with that flame of love burning within us, we can go out into the world to proclaim his goodness to everyone we meet. And we will do so using the gifts that God has given us, made manifest in our lives. When this happens, God is present. He will work through us to transform everything, history itself. He will send forth his Spirit to renew the face of the earth.
Let us stand now and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things are made. For us men and for salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds in the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And with confidence, we offer to God all of our needs.
For Pope Francis, the bishops, and all the clergy, may their joyful proclamation of the gospel move the faithful to share more fully the good news of salvation. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all world leaders, may they open themselves to the Holy Spirit for guidance and strength to work for peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who received the sacraments this Easter season, may they grow in their love for the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to them at their initiation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those discerning a vocation to the priesthood or religious life, may they receive the grace to respond to the call of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all our high school and college graduates, may they be guided by the Holy Spirit as they take on new challenges. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the sick, chronically ill, or hospitalized members of our community, especially Father Francis Muhenda, for whom this Mass is offered, Joe Taylor, and those whose names are listed in our bulletin, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That those who have died may rest in peace eternally. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the prayers written in our Book of Intercessions and the prayers we hold in our hearts. May they be united to the prayers of Mary, the Mother of God, to the prayers of St. Thomas the Apostle, and to the prayers of all the saints. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let's end with a prayer to the Holy Spirit we found on the back page of our hymnals. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, now of our children's collection.
Holy Ghost, number 544.
pray, sisters and brothers, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept your hands. The praise of the Lord is his name. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that as promised by your Son, the Holy Spirit may reveal to us more abundantly the hidden mystery of this sacrifice, and graciously lead us into all truth. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty.